future.
There are no people.
There are no people in the future.
No people at all.
There are no people in the future.
Where did all my people go?
There are no people in the future.
Let me try my people call.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, June 16th, 2021. Welcome to the newest edition of Raging Chicken's collection of podcasts. Yes, it's the Wednesday show with Cyril Mikulenko. Cyril's progressive columnist for the Bucks County Courier-Times and the Intelligencer. This show joins Out to Coop Live, our Monday evening interview show, and our Friday politics roundup, in which Sean Kitchen and I break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. And you can get all of our shows by subscribing to us on our podcast on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Great news, we also got a special Out to Coop Live tonight with Kadita Kenner, who is the executive director of the New Pennsylvania Project. That is going to be fantastic. And then on Friday, we've got two special co-hosts, Shanna Danielson, yes, and Angela Valvano of the Sisters of the Night Caucus podcast are going to be taking Sean's seat since Sean is off gallivanting with his folks across the country. So please join us for those two as well. You should also be signing up for Cyril's newsletter on Substack. That is cyrilmikulenko.substack.com. You can click on the link right in today's show notes. You can also help support this show by becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month. Just go to patreon.com/rcpress today. Your support has helped make this show possible. How about that? And you can help out the show also to head on over to our YouTube channel if you're not there already watching live and smash that subscribe button, like the stream for the show, and hit that notification bell so that you know every time that we go live. You can also sign up for our Discord server to continue the conversation all week long and into the night. Just click on the link in today's show notes and you can become part of our Discord community. And a special shout out goes to Jonathan Mann, who wrote our intro song, There Are No People in the Future. Check out all his great stuff on YouTube. And on Twitter, you can follow him on Twitter at SongADayMan on Twitter. So great. Welcome, Cyril, man. Great to see you again.
Yeah, likewise. Good to be back.
Yeah, just so everybody knows, I had a question about this last week. The folks were kind of joining the show live kind of on YouTube, and sometimes we'll get a little delay in the internet connection and things like this. Just rest assured, that's part of the stream, but later on, the high-quality video will be posted up there too as well. So I appreciate the question that the folks had about that. It's just the way we got working with the setup, and it's the way we can pull the highest quality video and sound there while still provide kind of an avenue for folks to kind of join live. So just want everybody to let you know. So today's show, we thought we'd delve in. This is a kind of the off week, right? It's kind of like off your elections, except it's off column weeks right, for Cyril. And so we thought we'd kind of delve into a couple things here, in particular, some of the critical race theory freakouts that are going across the nation and right in our own backyards right now. We've seen well over a dozen states pass laws kind of limiting the teaching of critical race theory. And Esquire just published an article, I believe it was like this morning or late last night. I haven't even read it yet. We're talking about this is like the next round of the right wing grift. But it has real world consequences here. And we're going to set aside a little time toward the second part of the show today to do a little Latin American news roundup. Because that is literally like in Cyril's backyard and kind of in his sweet spot from his history of writing on these things. So there we go. So Cyril, where do you want to dive in on this critical race theory stuff? I mean, there's local places to begin, but, you know, this is really a national story that is making its way into every kind of, you know, backyard schoolhouse, it seems.
I mean, it's frightening, actually, because
this is a concerted, organized national effort that's funded by dark money.
That's really, if you think about it, like to stoke fear in them, right, in order to kind of, advance their kind of cynical, far right, not only electoral goals, but educational goals as well, which I would suggest is to just keep young students, high school students, from developing critical thinking skills and from learning about history.
Well, I mean, it's essentially like the love it or leave it kind of, you know, frame all over again, right? It's a, you know, either you love everything about America and American history and accept us as exceptional, or, you know, get the hell out. You know, I mean, that's what's crazy. And what, you know, what's interesting to me, you know, I was spending a little time this morning checking out the Pennridge area GOP Facebook page. And the thing that shows up right at the top of that feed, right, is a link to a video, quote unquote, explaining critical race theory. Right. And it's like it starts out at the very beginning before they even get into the quote unquote substance of the video. Right. They talk about this being a threat to America. And they start with it being rooted in the kind of like Marxist conspiracies. Like that's the place it begins. When that's fascinating to me for exactly the reasons that you laid out, because this is nothing but right propaganda, right, to accomplish a particular end. Right. When what's interesting about some of the history of critical race theory is that, you know, it grew out of kind of critical legal studies, out of a real kind of specific question. And this is like decades ago. Right. I mean, this has been around for a long time. And the idea is that, you know, how is it that we find disparities along questions of race, right, despite the passing of laws like the Civil Rights Amendment, right? And they're looking for ways of, within the legal, you know, within the legal profession, about figuring out how do you make this case, right, about the systemic problems and legacies of racism, right? And it kind of grew out of there. And now it's obviously there's questions it raises in the humanities and how we talk about history and so on. But it's ultimately like a truth-finding process, right, of trying to really understand the complex legacies and, you know, of like, you know, of America's kind of, you know, history of racism, racial practices.
Never mind the fact that
it's not curriculum and it's not being taught in, you know, high school. It's like critical race theory.
Totally. Yes. No, absolutely. And a matter of fact, what they've done is they looked at these, you know, this, say again, local school districts have diversity and equity kind of initiatives, right? Making sure that you have inclusive schools. And what essentially they've been able to do, right, these kind of the right wing profiteers on this one have been able to equate those two things. And basically saying any attempt to try to address openness in the schools is critical race theory and a Marxist conspiracy to take over America, right? I mean, that's basically the line that they're drawing.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to have like a chilling effect on teachers, right? I mean, teachers are going to be scared to kind of do their lesson plans because, you know, school board members like Joan Cullen or candidates like Cora Landis and Palisades, or, you know, going back to Pennridge, Ricky Chaykin, that they're going to take something that they've taught in the classroom, manipulate it, misrepresent it, and then just mislabel it as, and, you know, for young, both young teachers, maybe especially young teachers, and even,
yeah,
you know, they're losing their jobs,
right? And so, like, what kind of education, yes, are they going to provide to our students?
Yeah, and you think about this, even the ways that discussions emerge organically in a classroom, right? And I think this is the place where teachers are going to be especially concerned. Like, if students raise questions, right, or have like legitimate questions about some of these histories and stuff, but how does a teacher respond to that? And you see like instances, what's happened over like in Texas just yesterday, right? Governor Greg Abbott passed this anti-critical race theory bill, and it attempts to kind of like prescribe what is allowed and what can be taught and how you're supposed to talk about it. But of course, that just increases the anxiety level for like, is this within those bounds or within outside those bounds? If a student says something inappropriate and I kind of respond to ask questions, am I going to be in trouble because of it?
You know, teaching, you know, reading like an excerpt from Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee about like a Native American perspective of the history of the West, that and my understanding of this is that they would think critical race theory,
right?
Teaching about some of the sins of the past,
which we should be learning from so that we don't repeat the same mistakes.
Well, exactly. And it's the, even as a job, just to, like in the like humanities, for example, about understanding each other as human beings and our place within this culture. You know, I think about it as what I heard on the school board meetings, for example, I was like listening to those last night too as well. You know, where people taking offense to, like, you know, saying all white people are bad, right? And that's not what this is about, right? It's about saying that, you know, by saying that I, as a white person, right, like may have some privilege, right, within this society, right? I'm not saying that, you know, you are privileged and therefore bad, right? It's trying to understand, like I think about with kids, like why might someone who's African-American be upset with me as a white person, right? And say something to me like, well, you know, you've had everything handed to you, right? And it, put aside for a second whether or not like this is, you know, as actually happening or something like this. But, you know, and a kid's hurt, right? A kind of white kid saying, well, I don't understand why he would say that. I didn't kind of hold slaves. And that's an opportunity for education at that point, to talk about the history, to talk about systemic racism, but not in a way that actually brings us to a multiracial democracy, not takes us back to kind of the land of kind of like pretense and fairy tales.
Sure. I mean, I think part of the problem is that we're seeing these far right school board candidates infiltrate, you know, these democratic institutions, and they're people like Joan Cullen, who like refuses right. to believe, or she does not believe that there's systemic racism. Oh, she doesn't believe in systemic racism, right? And then at the last school board meeting, she was suggesting that there needs to be more far right voices that are included in the curriculum or included in teacher training. And, you know, the rogues gallery of people that she brought up were Islamophobic, believe in the big lie, also deny racism. And these are people like Burgess Owens, Larry Elder.
Right. And it's just, you know, it's been pretty great. And then this is also happening now. We see that we've get even like legislation and bills now that are being proposed at the statewide level in order to, you know, restrict the teaching of critical race theory within the classroom. But like we're talking about here, the critical race theory, restricting critical race theory, it's like it's not being taught in the classroom, right? It's just being used as a dog whistle here. But to see this actually start to emerge in statewide legislation in Pennsylvania, following the trend of what we've seen in other states, is, I think, significantly problematic.
Kevin, so I kind of cut out there for a minute, so I missed the last few minutes.
Yeah, I just riffed. I just riffed when I saw you cut out. Basically saying, you know, now we're seeing this happening at the statewide level too as well, with kind of legislation that's being proposed in Pennsylvania following on the heels of what we're seeing kind of happening nationwide. And so we're not even just, we're seeing this, yes, in local school board meetings, but now we're seeing kind of these initiatives being put forward by, you know, some well-known kind of right-wing hacks in the Pennsylvania legislature right now. Yep, absolutely. And I'm looking at, you know, this act that has been proposed by kind of Russ Diamond, right? One of our, you know, favorite little go-tos in the Pennsylvania GOP, you know, basically looking at prescribing, you know, any attempt to suggest that there's inequality is basically what it is. Any attempt to kind of admit that there are somebody who may be on the receiving end of racism or sexism is going to be banned. Right, and shall face direct penalties, right? So, you know, any suggestion that an individual by virtue of race or sex is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously, or an individual should be discriminated against but receive adverse treatment due to an individual's race or sex, just talking about some of this stuff, right, is going to be fined in potential violation of this bill, right? And that's the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And, you know, in the, you know, in Tennessee, like, here's the thing, like, lawmakers kind of did the same thing. They pushed through a law in, you know, in 2 days, which also allows the state to pool funding. But the thing is, like, no teachers testified.
Of course not. No, they're part of the Marxist conspiracy.
This underscores why it's so important for everyone to kind of get involved in a local school board races,
right? Because it starts there. Obviously, we have to deal with the legislature as well, but we need to get like level-headed, reasonable
yes.
people in our school boards, and people really need to, it's not just about voting for them.
100%. And, you know, look, you're looking for an opportunity if you're here in Bucks County, right? You're in the Pembridge School District. I mean, these issues will be on the agenda tonight at the school board meeting. There's a school board meeting at 7 p.m. tonight at the Pembridge High School. You can also watch it on Facebook Live. There's a great Facebook group called Pembridge School Board Watch, which they post a lot of stuff. They have a direct link to the Facebook live stream if you want to kind of join in that way. The public comment section is especially interesting to kind of hear how these debates are being formulated, but they're actually going to be potentially going to be deciding on whether or not they're going to accept this, you know, commissions of diversity and equity and inclusiveness program. What's also interesting on the school board tonight, another reason to be there, Joan Cullen, who you heard us talk a lot about on this show in particular, they're looking to have this special little carve out in got a board policy that would make sure that only board members, right, not any teachers, administrators, anything like that, or students, but only board members will be prevented before being held accountable for their social media tweets or social media presences. So that they would be protected from all the racist garbage that they've been publishing, all the QAnon stuff that we see kind of emerging in some of our school board candidates. So that's something to watch too as well. So if you can make it, you know, and again, you don't to watch the school board meeting, you could be anybody, right? But especially if you're in the Pembridge School District, it's a great idea to get on that Facebook Live tonight or show up at the high school at 7 p.m. Again, links will be in today's show notes for you to check that out. But crazy. So yeah, get involved. Absolutely. So I don't want to switch gears too quickly here, but this is something we're probably going to be taking up on the show, the critical race theory, again on Friday, just so a heads up on there. You know, one of the things that I can't remember if we talked about this when we were talking about the introduction to the show, that first show of this, you know, this series. But, you know, Latin America has been kind of one of your areas of study, one of the areas that you've written kind of a lot about, that you've been involved in. And so we thought that, you know, one of the things that we mentioned this last week, start bringing some of the international flavor to our discussions, too, as well on these kind of off weeks, off column weeks, I should say. And so we thought we'd take a little look at some of this, what's happening in Latin America right now, because it seems there's a lot of stuff that's going on. And you seem to be in a kind of a pretty good position as an observer to be checking out what's happening.
No, I mean, absolutely. Like I said, I don't remember either if we mentioned this, but like my back.
Cyril, you're breaking up pretty bad. I'm not sure if we're getting all that. He just got booted. Sorry about that, folks. Cyril's had some internet issues on his end today. That it's just been kind of in and out. And it's unfortunate because, like I said, this is one of his areas of expertise to really dig in on this. Let me try to summarize a little bit about one of the things that's happening with Castillo. And I know that what we wanted to talk about too as well is we wanted to look at what was happening around the constitution in Chile, because what the constitution in Chile was like literally written by these, you know, the Chicago School of Economics folks, right? It was designed as a way of ensuring that, you know, any kind of public investment, any kind of non-neoliberal order would be virtually impossible to achieve, right? And there were these huge thresholds that were built into the Constitution about, you know, what it would take to change it, what it would take to steer away from this kind of austerity politics that, you know, the IMF and the World Bank had done for so long and that the Chicago School of Economics had been so interested in. But I do want to have that conversation with Cyril. And I would like, you know, even to come back, if we can find a time to come back and talk about what's happening in Peru, where we got a kind of better internet connection. It's like, you know, these things happen and this is what happens in our kind of you know, our interconnected global world. So we can talk as much as we want about wanting to have a great situation where, you know, everyone is connected, but we do run into these issues. So I think Cyril has joined us back. Don't have video or audio yet. We shall see. But I definitely think that I want to give time, can maybe say in an upcoming episode, yes, to have Cyril definitely come back on to talk a little bit about what's happening in Chile and maybe return to Latin America. He and I, Cyril, welcome back. No, it's fine. What I was just saying, I don't know if you heard any of this, but I think that, you know, given that we've been kind of coming in and out, instead of trying to kind of push through, I'd like to be able to come back and kind of really be able to kind of dig into these issues and can maybe in a separate show. Because I, you know, I gave a little talk, a little kind of discussion about what's happening in Chile, and also a little bit more about Peru. But I think it'd be great to come back on. Does that make sense?
Let's do that. Yeah, absolutely.
I think his audio is, yeah. So one of the things that let me give a preview, everybody, about kind of where things, what some of the things are coming up on the show that I want you to kind of be aware of. So next week, we're going to be looking at, you know, Cyril's got a column coming out too as well. Hopefully, we'll be able to get enough internet connection to give us a little preview of that in just a moment. We have a column come out, so we'll be focused a little bit on that column. But one of the things that is just occurring to me, and Cyril and I will talk a little bit about this off air, but I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks, and the plan at this point is to kind of hand over the reins to Cyril. So potentially, maybe that's an opportunity to come back to the stuff on what's going on in Latin America. I would like to see that as even more of a regular kind of return in this show, simply because, you know, this is, like I said, this is one of the areas that Cyril covered as a journalist, and both of us have some roots in this kind of global justice work. And, you know, some of these kind of, say, you know, struggles for liberation and equality and justice throughout Latin America. So we'll definitely come back to that. Fantastic. All right. We'll be looking forward to that. So everybody listen, thank you for tuning in. Sorry that we kind of ran into issues. This is kind of one of the things that happens in our interconnected world, especially today. Look forward to, hopefully you'll be joining us tonight where we got Kadita Kenner on Out the Coop Live. And on Friday for our special guest host, Shannon Danielson and Angela Belbano. See ya.